The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Turn with me now to the book of Psalm. Psalm 146, or the 146th Psalm. I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. We're going to read verses 3 through 6. If you're physically able to stand here in the sanctuary, certainly we want to ask that you please do so. Please, ma'am, and please, sir. Those of you who are online, we ask that you also please stand with us. And remember, we stand per the word of God. Nehemiah chapter 8 and 5. It says, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up." Psalm 146, verses 3 through 6. Amen. Psalm 146, verses 3 through 6. I'll be reading today from the New Living Translation, It says, "Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever." Now, before you're seated, bear with me as I lead into the subject. Because on this second Sunday of October the 11th, amid this pandemic that we continue to be in and face, my brothers and my sisters, the truth be told, these unprecedented times are exposing some of our deepest insecurities. It's shining a spotlight on our vulnerabilities. And at times we're making them, I'm talking about our vulnerabilities, our weaknesses, our fears, the only things that we can see. Even as much as we wish or would like to, we cannot simply snap our fingers and return to the simpler or the old days. The problems that we are facing are too complex, and the challenges are too severe. And so we must look outside ourselves for hope and a way forward. That is exactly what our country is doing at this moment. We desperately look to the government. We desperately look to corporations or to charities for solutions, hoping that someone will have an answer, hoping that someone will be able to see us through this impossible situation that we find ourselves in. Yet, I am convinced that there is a very real threat, even for us within the family of God, to misplace our trust. So with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, in whom do we put our trust? Before you're seated, let us pray that prayer that we pray to be on one accord, that prayer that we ask that God would illuminate our hearts and our minds. So I'm going to ask that you would repeat this prayer after me. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me, that is for me, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. In whom do we put our trust? As the psalmist reminds us here in the text in verse 3 of the passage we read, he says, don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. Apparently, then, this impulse to trust in the wrong people has been around for a long time. And misguided trust is not our only problem. It's also misguided hope. If our hope is simply for economic security or prosperity, then powerful people may be of some use. If the pandemic is our greatest concern, then looking to healthcare experts makes a great deal of sense. Yet in this season, whatever the season is for you, the psalmist helpfully reminds us of the temporal nature of those kinds of hopes. Princes or powerful leaders, however wise or trusted they may be, will see their plans perish as their breath departs from them. If our hope is for something truly eternal, we must place those hopes in the hands of something, or better yet, someone who is greater than death itself. Which brings me to something else of great importance that the Holy Spirit has directed me to speak to each and every one of you directly about. We are now 23 days from today, 3 weeks from this upcoming Tuesday, from unquestionably the most important election in American history. I believe for many reasons, this election is critical to the direction of the U.S. And I believe it's the responsibility, hear me when I say it, it's the responsibility of every American to vote. We have what is called a representative government. In other words, we elect people to go to our local and state governments and, of course, to Washington, D.C. to represent our values and beliefs. Now, let me just be clear right now. I will not be telling anybody how to vote, and I will not be telling anybody who to vote for. But I have come by the aid of the Holy Spirit to warn us that despite the outcome, we may find ourselves disillusioned. So before we get to that day, watching the map and holding our collective breaths, awaiting the results, I want us to reflect on the words of King David, the man after God's own heart who knew the failings of men. Watch the text. Verse 3, it says, he says, do not put your trust in powerful people. Now, that's how the New Living Translation says it. Don't put your trust in powerful people. But most translations say, don't put your trust in princess, amen? I believe that's the word in the NIV, King James, New King James, and most other translations. Don't put your trust or your confidence in princess. Now, let me teach right through here. David himself had been a prince. He was the son-in-law of King Saul, so he knew what he was talking about. But watch this. In his day, princes were equivalent to politicians today. Lord, help me to stand tall. So you have to ask yourself, why would David say, don't put your trust in princes. I asked David, why shouldn't we put our trust in them? Well, here's a reason. One reason is possibly, and again, I'm not here to cast aspersions on any particular candidate. This is a spiritual warfare. Come on, somebody. We're in a spiritual battle. And one of the teachings is David said, tell them that we cannot put our trust in princes because even the best have mixed motives. There's a whole lot of them that have pride issues, personal agendas, and for some, they seek self-glorification, self-promotion. Now, I don't know if you've done this, but I have. You can Google it yourself. It's interesting how the word politics is made up of the words poly, P-O-L-I, meaning many in Latin, and tics, T-I-C-S, as in blood-sucking creatures. In other words, politics broken down means many poly blood-sucking creatures. David, why shouldn't we put our trust in them? Because again, not painting with a broad brush, but the truth is the truth, because they are easily corrupted. Too many are influenced by bribes, friends, and the effects of power. They desire to maintain their positions and will do just about any and everything to compromise to do so. Many of them have ideological bents which go toward either one way or the other of extremes. Kept asking, I said, David, I mean, you said don't put your trust in princes your day or politicians our day. What are some other reasons we shouldn't do that? He says, while the first couple may not be all of them, maybe some or most, but here's something that all of them applies to every one of them, because all of them have limited power and or ability. Many of the problems that we face, many of the problems that we are wanting our elected officials to face and take care of on our behalf are too big for them to solve. That's why Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, part A, he said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Isaiah said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He didn't say the government shall rest on the shoulders of the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. No, the government shall rest on his shoulders, and his name is Jesus. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. When we start putting our hopes in Washington to solve our problems, we are headed for a fall. Everyone, it seems, in the news media, no matter what channel or network you watch, everyone, it seems, on social media platforms, regardless of which one, people even from pulpits are hailing their candidate as proverbial savior from the problems of the other party. They are hailing their candidate or candidates as the savior or their party ticket as the saviors of their problems and the problems of the world. But my brothers and my sisters, there is only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. He is not a 44, he's not a 45, he's not a 46, but he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. That's why Isaiah said in verse 7 of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. In other words, Jesus doesn't have term limits. I'll restate my statement from earlier. However, I do and still believe it is still the responsibility of every American to vote. But it's one thing to vote. It's another thing to misplace your trust and your hope. Jeremiah 17, verse 5, the New Living Translation says this. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. People today, even so-called Christians, preachers and pastors, are holding up their candidates like idol worshipers, and they are turning not only their hearts, but they're turning the hearts of the people away from God. And God has said, I am the Lord thy God. There will be no other God before me. And that's why he said, I'm a jealous God. Who or what are you putting your trust and confidence in? Listen, I understand. It seems like our needs are so great. We need so much. We need money. We need resources for houses, for rent, for cars, gas, insurance, food, clothing, utilities, medication, and a thousand or so other things. It's like the familiar hamster or the rat that's running on the wheel. We keep running and running and running, and it never seems that we're getting anywhere fast or we're getting any better. But I'm so glad that no matter how great the human needs are, God has the ability to supply all of our needs. When you have a moment, read Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, and verse 19 if you need a reminder. But there's one more thing I want to show you from the scripture before I close the message. Watch this. Verse 5 says, but joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. That's New Living Translation. Watch what I paint here. New Living says, but joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. The NIV says, blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. I'm going somewhere. The New King James Version says, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Here's where I'm going with this. The scripture directly links joy or blessings or happiness, depending on your translation, but regardless, it links joy, blessings, or happiness to hope. No matter what translation you read, one may say joyful are those, another may say blessed are those, another may say happy is he or happy are they, but all of them say whose hope is in the Lord their God. In other words, if we hope correctly, we will truly be joyful. New Living Translation. If we hope correctly, we will truly be blessed. NIV. If we hope correctly, we will truly be happy. New King James Version. So while each of us might indeed hope or wish or strongly desire that the candidate we vote for, whether on a local, a state, or national level, wins the election comes this November the 3rd, the hope that God has provided for you is not merely a wish, but neither is it dependent on other people, it's not dependent on your possessions, and it's also not dependent upon your circumstances for validity. Instead, biblical hope is an application of your faith that supplies a confident expectation in God's fulfillment of his promises. Therefore, it is imperative that you, that I, that we place our hope in the one who, I said it before and I say it again, who has overcome death itself. That being Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when we put our hope in him, we have to then trust that he will bring you unspeakable joy, happiness, and blessings. Listen, as I prepare to close, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, it says, I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. Then if you keep reading in Isaiah, go over to chapter 48, verse 14, it adds, which of the idols, the other supposed deities, have foretold these things? Listen, there is a culture war going on in America and around the world. And the pagan worldview is increasingly gaining dominance. The lost world thinks truth is an ever-evolving concept that's determined by society. But truth, my brothers and my sisters, is actually linked to the unchanging character of God. And so since God doesn't change, truth can't change. Again, quoting Isaiah, this time in chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Satan is crafty, and he offers a strange mixture of just enough good to disguise the evil along his downward path to destruction. He has lured and he has enlisted many followers with enticements of fame, riches, and power. He has confused so many people that even nations and leaders, to the point what they've done is he confused so many of them, so much so to the point of an they're having an immoral approach to moral issues. The world in general seems to have lapsed into a coma of unrighteousness, leaving God-given and time-honored moral values and principles behind. But Jesus said in John chapter 6:63, the words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit, big S, and life. Listen, only the Word of God can set people free. Listen, you and I are going to hear a whole lot of campaign promises between now and the election. Promises to create more jobs, promises to reduce the deficit, promises to solve the housing crisis, promises to put more money in your pocket, promises to create a miracle vaccine to cure and defeat the coronavirus, etc., etc., etc. But hear the word of God in Psalm 146, 5 and 6. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. And if you took the time, and I hope you do take the time, to actually read all the way down through the end of Psalm 146, when you read it, you'll actually see some of the promises that God said he'll keep. As a matter of fact, if you read it, I want you to recognize those aren't campaign promises. When he talks about dealing with the oppressed, feeding the hungry, those aren't campaign promises. Those are promises that God says he himself can keep, and he will keep them forever. So again, I got to ask you the question, in whom do we put our trust? But let me ask you, in whom do you put your trust? To God be the glory, to God be the praise. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.